mantiene la peso a yincho niti makoma ni mantiene la peso a yincho Wati kesia wayamami watu muswa butia tumi buye mami buye mami eja Uye mami, oh, uye mambo, uye mami, eja uye, uye mami, miti makoma,
miti makoma,
eni madie ni,
ni madie.
Your head shall not lack oil, your hands shall receive wealth, your feet shall receive speed. Your hand on your chest say, I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I am the head and not the tail, therefore I'll never, never fail. You said it and you believe it. Please put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Now last week we began dealing with categories of people to be watchful of. And the first category we dealt with was the kings of this world. How many of you remember that one? How many of you were blessed by that one? All right, we said the kings of this world. Called from the story in Genesis 4 pertaining to Cain and Abel and all the things that Cain shows there. We said that the kings of this world can't handle another's promotion. They feel entitled and they blame others for the lack of progress in their life. There's always somebody else to blame but themselves, and so they lack personal responsibility. Number two, we spoke about the... Who did we talk about? I can't hear you. Who did we talk about? The Judases of this world. And we said that these were the people who are greedy and they are thieves. They will steal your friends, steal your opportunities, steal your relationships, steal everything that can be stolen. We said they are betrayers. You cannot trust them with your words. You cannot trust them with your actions. You cannot trust them with your secrets. How many of you or how many of us have been burnt before? We trusted somebody. Okay, can I see the hand up? Like, those of you who have not yet been burnt, your time is coming. Somebody say amen. It's part and parcel of our walk in this world. It's part of this world. Somebody, you will trust somebody and they will burn you. Listen, the truth of the matter, the Bible says Jesus Christ prayed, and after he had prayed, he stepped out to call his disciples. So the calling of Judas was a product of prayer. When Jesus called the 12, out of prayer, out of waiting on God, Judas was part of the 12 that the Son of the Living God called, because he had a purpose. You know, and so sometimes you can be very careful, you can be very prayerful, you can be very insightful and intuitive in the way you relate with people, but every now and then a Judas will show up somewhere in your life. We just need the wisdom of God to be able to spot them and identify them. Hallelujah. The truth is sometimes the Judases don't start as Judases from the beginning. They start out with good intention. They start out with a clean heart. But life happens and suddenly they begin to enter a place where their heart is embittered and they begin to betray us. If you have not been betrayed before, I say your own time is coming. Somebody say amen. All right. Now, today we are dealing with the 10 spies. Somebody say the 10 spies. Okay. If you are an avid Bible reader and a Bible student, you would have come across what the Bible calls the 12 spies who were sent by Moses himself in Numbers 13 to go and sojourn the land of Canaan to see if the land was ripe, the land was fertile, the land was good. God had already given his word to them that he was giving them this place. But you can't just walk into a place, because the truth of the matter is that what you cannot define, you cannot dominate. It is important to clearly define whatever you are contending with in order to be able to dominate it. That is the reason why when somebody is sick and goes to the hospital, they don't just look at your face and start prescribing drugs. They need to first understand what they are dealing with. They need to define what you are battling with. And then they now come up with a strategy to dominate it. And so although the Lord had spoken to Moses about taking over Canaan, they needed to first see what they were dealing with. They needed to first identify what they were contending with and define it in order to dominate it. And so Moses selected 12 people. Are you with me so far? 12 people. And these were leaders in the various tribes, one from each tribe, and sent them to go and see what is happening in the land. The Bible says, and when they came back, 10 of them brought a report that said that they were like grasshoppers before the people there. They were weak in comparison to them. They came with grapes and they used it as evidence to show that although the place is fertile, there is no way they can go and take over the place. And so the 10 spies, the third category, are people who speak doubt. You have dreams, you have aspirations, you have plans, you know, you have a scheme you are working with, you have a goal you are trying to attain, you have all these things planned, and then you discuss with a person who possesses the character of the 10 spies, and all they will do is to belittle the dreams, belittle the vision that you have, and cast doubt upon all that you have dreamed of. You see, how we interpret things affects what we do about those things. If you are supposed to undertake a journey and you have interpreted the journey to be something impossible for a human being, immediately it impacts how you approach that journey. The reason why many of us here fail mathematics, can I go there? Or are afraid of, is because we have a fear of the subject matter. The day the lecturer or teacher enters there and writes, change of subject. Today too. Because you, in your mind, in your heart of hearts, you have decided to interpret the whole thing as something that cannot be understood. In fact, it is amazing to you that other people are understanding it, because you don't think people must understand it. It's too complex and doesn't make sense. And so that you don't fail the mathematics the day you write the exam. You fail it the day you start in the class, because of how you interpreted what is happening. The way you interpret a thing matters. That is why when David had the opportunity or privilege to meet Goliath, he looked at him and said, I do not come against you with swords. I come against you in the name of the Lord God Almighty, the hosts of heaven. He interpreted him to be, you are nothing to me. You are nothing before God. And once he could interpret this battle as that, he had already dominated him in the spirit. The reason all of them were running away is because they looked at a giant and they thought to themselves that, hey, this one, nobody can fit him. The entirety of the land of Israel was, they were afraid because they had seen a giant. They interpreted him as an insurmountable problem. Look at somebody and say, how are you interpreting your issues? Or ask another, how do you interpret the issues? The 10 spies came and they began to speak doubt. Numbers chapter 13, verse 31. You can read it for me. Numbers 13:31.
Numbers 13:31.
Yes, sir.
But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.
It says, we cannot go there and take over because they are stronger than us. They have already defined it as something that cannot be done. Although Caleb and Joshua were speaking and they were telling the people, you know, we are more than able. Now, if you read the story in Numbers 13, the Bible says before Moses even sends them, God had already given his word. And God has said that I have given the place to you. So if I were you and you are one of the people chosen to go and spy on the land, no matter what I see, I will see it from the perspective of what God has already said. Because once God has spoken, it doesn't matter what my eyes are seeing. Everything must be brought in alignment with what God has said from the beginning. Are you with me now? But when they went, they saw the Bible said they saw them as descendants of Anak, giants. And they said, there is no way we can overcome them. In fact, they went ahead to say, we were like grasshoppers before them and in their eyes. And my question is, how do you know how the people can see you? You are here and you are determining how they are seeing you. That's how much of self-deprivation that they had. That brings me number two. They self-depreciate. They self-depreciate. If you have a person like one of the 10 spies in your life, you will never be adequate. There's nothing you have that will be sufficient. Your skills will never be good enough. Your certificate will never be good enough. Your talent will never be good enough. Your humility will there's nothing you ever do that will be good enough, because they will always self-depreciate. They always look for an opportunity to bring you down. And the more you linger around such people, the more your confidence in life begins to wane. There are many of us who used to very confident in attempting certain things or in doing certain things. But over the years, we have found that the thing that we used to be very confident in doing, suddenly we are not confident anymore. It did not happen overnight. When you go through a process and you are under the influence of people who have the habit of depreciating your self-worth, over time, you begin to lose confidence. Hallelujah. If I were to give one of the pastors an opportunity to preach, let's say for the next 1 year, preach every Sunday, and he starts preaching, and the first day he preaches, I tell the person, what is this? Don't you read your Bible? And I keep telling the person that consistently. By the time we get to 31st December, you don't even know what to say. That's exactly what some of us are doing to our own children. We have become the 10 spies to our children. That's what some of us, our parents did to us. You haven't even given them the report yet. Oh, but you, we know what you bring. You have brought another one. Look at your sister. Look at your brother. Doing well in school. Look at you. Look at your head. So before you even go, you know that nobody is expecting anything good out of you. Like they said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? If a Jesus could come out of Nazareth, it doesn't matter what the situation looks like. I see you coming out of any situation that seems to bring you down in the name of Jesus. Look at somebody say, we rise. So depreciation. We look like grasshoppers before them. Grasshoppers. We are nothing. And the things you consistently hear have the ability to shape your thought pattern. The Bible says, and after they kept saying this, and they kept saying this, and they kept saying this, the entirety of the congregation now rose up against God. They rose up against Moses. And so to the extent that Moses and Aaron put their face down. And the Bible says, they wanted to stone Caleb and Joshua. Even the people who were speaking positively in alignment with what God was saying, they wanted to stone them. See, most of the time, the people who are part of the 10 spies, they are the loudest in the group. They are the loudest all the time. They never see the good in anything, and yet they are the loudest. Enter any office setting, and you always find a certain group of people who don't see anything good in the company, but they'll never leave. They are still there. Are you with me now? When a new person comes, hey, say, you two, you have come. The way we are planning to leave, you have come to join us, but they'll never leave. They are always there. They always have bad stories to say about the company that feeds them, that pays their salary and help them pay tithe, the same company. They always have something bad to say. I pray for us that may God open our eyes to be able to run away from the 10 spies in the name of Jesus. Oh, somebody say amen. Amen. Oh, shout amen.
Amen.
They have a critical spirit. So for chapter 14, Numbers 14, 1 and 2. They have a critical spirit.
Numbers 14, 1 and 2.
Yes, sir.
And all the congregation lifted up their voice,
mm-hmm,
and cried, And the people wept that night.
They wept.
And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron.
Mm.
And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness.
Mm. Yes, it would have been better for us to die in the wilderness. Because if you are bringing us here for us to go and be like grasshoppers in front of giants, then what is the point? They have a critical spirit. When you dress, you have something to say about it. Your shoe, you have something to say about it. Your relationship, they have something to say about it. There's nothing you ever do that they will compliment you and say that that's a good one. Everything you try to do, achieve, or pursue, they will always have a critical spirit about it. Are you with me now? I know right now as I'm speaking, some of you, some names of people who are like that are dropping in your spirit right now. You are already perceiving them and you are seeing them. If it is not them, then it is no good. Are you with me? Number 4. The Jezebels. The Jezebels. First Kings 21:25.
First Kings 21:25. Yes. But there was none like unto Ahab,
mm-hmm.
which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Whom
there was what? Read it again. Please pay attention. There was what?
But there was none like unto Ahab.
There was none like unto Ahab.
Which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight
of
the Lord.
He sold himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord.
Whom Jezebel his wife stirred up.
Who stirred up?
Jezebel.
Jezebel his wife did what?
Stirred up.
Can you read from NIV as well? That there's a man, he did so much wickedness in the sight of God. He sold himself to do wickedness. And then it says, whom Jezebel stirred up. NIV.
There was never anyone like Ahab. Who sold himself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord.
Who sold himself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord.
Edged on by Jezebel, his wife.
The motivational speaker. To do evil, Jezebel his wife said, there is no one in the entirety of the nation of Israel at that time who was as wicked as him. But it is because he had fans, he had somebody clapping for him. Somebody say, you are doing well. You are doing well. Hallelujah. The Jezebels of this world, number one, they are people who turn your heart from God and encourage you to live a godless life. They encourage you to turn your heart from God. They encourage you. They turn your heart from God. This was Ahab, a king of God's people, king chosen to rule and reign over God's people. And some way, somehow, now he's gotten to a place where he sold himself to wickedness because he had the backing, encouragement of Jezebel. The story in 1 Kings 21 really, really highlights their relationship and what was going on between them. The Bible says there was a man called Naboth who had a vineyard. And one day, Ahab was looking over his window and saw Naboth's vineyard and called for him and said, I like your vineyard. I want it. I can give you another vineyard to replace it, or I can even pay you money for it. Are you following the story so far? Now, Naboth said, there's no way I can give you this piece of land because this is my people's inheritance. It has been in our family. It was passed on from generations, so I also pass it on. I can't sell it. And the Bible says, when the king came home, Ahab came home, he was sad. In fact, he didn't even want to eat. And Jezebel came to him and said, oh, why are you down? Why are you sad? What's happening? And he narrated the story to her. Jezebel said, are you not king anymore? Be calming down over there. Brought him food to eat and said, you watch me. She wrote letters and signed them in the husband's name and sent them to Naboth's people and said, arrange a fast. Let people gather. Put Naboth in a very prime location in the gathering. Now, and then put two people opposite him. When they're about to finish everything, let these two people accuse him of blaspheming God. And when they accuse him falsely, let the people now pick stones and stone him to death. When they received a letter signed ostensibly by the king, immediately they put a plan in action. Put Naboth there. He appears as if they're about to glorify him because he's sitting in a place of prominence. He doesn't know it's a setup to finish his life. And these people began to accuse him. You can't even answer because there are two witnesses. It's not one person. It's two. So what are you going to say? It's your word against you. They pick stones and they kill him. And when they brought the report that we have done it, she goes to the husband and says, you know what? Go and take your vineyard. The man is dead. Look at the level of wickedness that she's able to exhibit. Because of land, just sacrifice somebody's whole generation so your husband can eat. Amen. The Jezebels of this world can encourage you to do wicked things and give you funds for godless living. They are the people that you decide in your heart and with God that there are certain lifestyles you don't want to be in it anymore. But whenever they come around you, suddenly you want to do those things again. You can't say no to them. You are triggered to move in the directions you have told yourself you don't want to go anymore. You have told yourself, I don't have alcohol anymore. And then they come and they are bringing the bottles, the favorites they know you like from the past. You know, the ones you like, they know, they have your keys. So they bring and they pour. So you go like, these days I stop those things. I know you. They pour you a little and then pam, you are gone. They encourage you. In fact, they will mock you for trying to live for God and trying to walk according to the precepts of God. These are the Jezebels of this world. It says, there was nobody as wicked as Ahab, and not because he was wicked in and of himself, but simply because he had the backing and encouragement of a wife. If there's a Jezebel in your life, when you are misbehaving, they will encourage you. They will give you fans. So when somebody does something to you, and want to show up, you want to show the ya-ya in you, you want to demonstrate a little bit of the what is on the inside, and you are speaking your mind, and then they will say, tell him. They're giving you fans. They're happy. They're leading you to your place of damnation. Hallelujah. Because of Jezebel, God had to reject Ahab. In fact, after that, so when the wife told him, go and take the vineyard, he went. He didn't ask the wife, how did he die? What happened? Nothing. Hey, I have my vineyard. He went. And when he was on his way, God spoke to Elijah. I said, this man is going to the vineyard. Go and meet him there and drop my word to him. A king is supposed to work in tandem with a priest in those days. So when God calls a king, God usually will raise a priest or a prophet for him. Are you with me? So for David or for Saul, God gave him Samuel. For Moses, God gave him Aaron. For Joshua, God gave him Eleazar. Every king that God raises, he raises a prophet for him. But for Ahab, because of the level of wickedness Ahab had, God raised a prophet against him. Are you with me? In fact, that's the reason why Elijah is one of the greatest prophets in the Bible. Because he rose up in a time where there was one of the most wicked kings in the Bible. So God had to raise and anoint a man of like power and anointing to be able to deal with the level of wickedness at display in the kingdom. So he sent him the word of God and said, God said, I should tell you, you are finished. And when Ahab saw Elijah, he said, my enemy has found me. He is seeing the prophet and said, the prophet is my enemy. What? Imagine the level of wickedness you must be walking in to identify a prophet that God has sent as your enemy. Because those days, they spoke on the behalf of God. They spoke for God. And so if they were here and they brought a word, it was as if God himself had spoken. They were the oracles. So if you called him an enemy, you are calling God an enemy, essentially. All because he was stirred on and encouraged by a Jezebel. Look, begin to scan your life and see if there's a Jezebel in there somewhere. Begin to scan your life. They will encourage you to do wicked things, encourage you into godless living. Every time you say you're coming to church, they'll have something to mock you over. You're in church again. Every day you're suffering, mommy. They have never called you and said, I just came so we pray. From Osu to where else? To that's all. Every time you see their call, like the foolish woman in you and the foolish man in you comes alive. It's time to turn up. You're going to dirty ourselves. Hey, this is my friend here. Are you with me now? The Jezebels. Number two, the Jezebels use good attributes for evil. They have good attributes, but they use all that for evil. Good attributes. Amen? Yeah, good attributes. Look at her. She's a princess. Yeah. She's a princess. She knows. She understands palace etiquette. She knows how to relate with kings. She was born to a king herself. She's confident. She's bold. She's assertive. And yet she employs all those great attributes for wickedness. There are people who have good attributes, but they employ all those good attributes for evil. For example, they have money, but their money only does evil things. Money is good. Money is, the Bible says, it is the love of money that is the root of all evil. It is the love of it, and even the love of it is at the root. You need to understand the scripture. What? So money itself hasn't done anything, but people can possess it and have it possess them to the extent that now they employ it for wickedness. They use it for wicked things. Hallelujah. I know people who, when you are in genuine need, you need help. They can see you need help, but they'll never help you. But if they met you in the beer bar, whatever quantity you want to drink, they'll pay. Have you seen those people before? Yeah. You know you need a job. You know you need something. They will never give it to you. But as long as you are meeting them in that space and you will drink 100, oh, drink. Whatever quantity, they will pay. When perhaps that same amount spent there could have helped advance your life in a way. Some people use their beauty for wickedness and for evil things. They don't look like it. If they tell you that this beautiful lady sitting there, like she's the assistant to Jezebel, you won't believe it. If they tell you. Because you look at their face. So some people have good attributes. They just use it for wicked things. Look at Jezebel. Look at the way she was able to plan right there. Look at the scheme. Let me write a letter to this person. Let them do this. This is smartness. But look at how she employs her smartness for wicked things. Some people are smart, but they can use it to manipulate people. See, next week we deal with the Balaams of this world. But one thing is that you see some people are gifted and they use their gift to manipulate people. Have you seen that one before? Oh, can I get an amen in this place? Yes. So they can be gifted genuinely. They can have good attributes. Somebody is very strong, and because they are strong, they are always fighting. Because they are tall, they are always chasing women. Can I hear an amen from the short men? Hallelujah. they have good. Pastor Mike, I didn't come for you this morning. They have good attributes, but they always, always have to employ it. She had good leadership skills. Imagine if she was using this strategic thinking for advancing the kingdom. You know, for how do we get all these people together for them to worship the one true God? How do I use my influence and my abilities to help advance this? No. She was just looking for a way to peddle wickedness. In fact, it was in her era that they began to build altars for the prophets of Baal. Where now there had to be a battle between Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Because it all started from Jezebel. Good attributes always used for wicked things. Body has money. They want to help you. They want to give you a job. But before they give you the job, come and take your offer letter from Alisa Hotel, room 475. They have the power to give you what you really desire, but they have tied evil intentions to that power. In Africa, people have power and they use it for all manner of things, enriching themselves, advancing their parochial interests. Many of them don't care about they are there when it's election time. You come and give some people 10 cedis to go and vote for them. You think they care? If they care, would they give you 10 cedis? The value they are placing on that is on your vote is the 10 cedis they've given to you. And the cycle continues, because the more I'm forced to look for money to come and give you to come and vote, the more I have to steal to come and give you again the next time. And the vicious cycle continues. But we have empowered people who will take it and use it for other things. Are you with me? When they enter parliament, the first thing they think about is the V8s. How do we give everybody? If I were president, nobody would drive V8. They all stay in the traffic like the rest of us. Would give you Sonata. When you pass on the bumpy road, the next time you come and fix it. Does it make sense? But because they are in V8, when they pass Pure Water Road, Agbogba Road, they don't feel anything. So when you are screaming that the road is bad, they don't understand. So the Jezebels can employ good qualities and use them for all manner of things. The people around you, even in your school, the only time they would help you to do something is when there's an evil agenda attached to it. Something ungodly attached to it. Lift up your right hand wherever you want to pray. May God help us, strengthen us against the Jezebels of this world and the 10 spies of this world. Please lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice.
Thank you for listening to the Apostle Josiah Auburn Jr. For more of these messages, please subscribe to his podcast and SoundCloud. It's Apostle Josiah Auburn Jr. To interact with him, like his page on Facebook, follow him on Twitter at Apostle Josiah Auburn Jr.